wish, honestly, you could stand up front with me and hear you all sing. It's such a good thing, and it just sounds great. So, we're still in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 5, the last half of it. Think about this for a minute. Let's just recap Romans for just a minute. Chapter 1, we have Paul introducing himself. Paul saying that he's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, verse 17, 18. And then he goes on and he says that that God has unveiled himself to all creation, that nobody is of excuse. And then he talks about God's righteous judgment, that the judgment of God is righteous. That no other judgment is as righteous as the Lord. That's just what he is. And then we talked about, if you remember, we talked about this idea of Jews and the law, following the law. We went through that big discourse about circumcision and uncircumcision. If you remember, that was just how the Jews made themselves look religious in front of people. And they thought they had it all together if they went through that because of what Abraham did at the beginning. Then we learned that no one is righteous, but we can't earn our righteousness. That righteousness is given to us. And then we talked about Abraham and him being justified by faith. And not by what he did, but by faith. And so you and I, we learned that we are justified by faith. By not what we do, not how many things we do. And there's this whole idea that we're justified by faith. And that's a very tough thing for us to understand and us to get. Very tough thing for me to understand and get sometimes because I want everybody to know how hard I work at it and what I do. I want to be justified by my works sometimes. And remember, if we turn works into love, then our works become an act of love. Because he loves us, then we should love back. So therefore, if you remember, and this is very important to me because I think this is how it works for me, is that whatever I do out of works, it's because I love the Lord. Not because of what I think or feel or what I should do. Now, we all play the game. I get it. There are times that you'll even hear me go, well, I just did this great act today, so I got one more jewel in my crown. I just did this great thing. God's going to find favor in me. We all play that game. I say that facetiously because in reality, it's out of love that we do our works, that we have faith in God. Very key concept. Very key concept. So now we come to chapter 5. Last week we talked about peace and having peace and being in peace. We talked about character. We talked about the hope that comes in God. And so this week, in the last half of chapter 5, there's this idea of Adam and Christ being sort of acting in the same way. But not acting in the same way. This is a portion of scripture that people go over and think about and wonder about a lot. Because what does it mean when Paul is writing here saying, hey, wait a minute, just as Adam did, so did Christ. Now, it's very hard to get, but I think in some ways the simple message is this, is that we all sin through Adam, right? There would be some who would say, oh, there's no such thing as Adam, that's just your Christian fable story that people have written about and talked about, but really, I don't really believe that just one Adam, through Adam, sin came. I think it's just a little bit different, that sin was just there and we all sinned. But if you and I are consistent with Scripture, right? If we're consistent with Scripture, as our friend Ken Ham says, Scripture must follow its way out, then we all did sin through Adam. One man, one transgression. One man, one transgression. So through Adam's choice, and just to be politically correct, through Eve's choice, let's throw Eve in there a little bit too, just for the sake of throwing her in there, but through their choice and through their decision, sin came into the world. So too, then, if in Adam sin came, so too then, through one man, came righteousness. Came the way to find God. One way. So in a sense, Adam and Jesus and Christ are the same. One man, one way. There are those who would say, oh, come on. And we all think this sometimes, you know, and we all hear people say, oh, come on, there's other ways to God. All religions lead to God. Have we heard people say that? I've heard people say that. You know, so, okay, well, all religions lead to God. Well, what is truth? Well, we have to go to Scripture. Scripture is our defining source of truth. And so Paul here is not saying, hey, all religions lead to God. He would write that. If that were true, he would say that right here. Think about it for a minute. He would say, hey, you know what? Through Adam, sin came. But you know what? God made many different ways of which you can be saved. God made many different ways in which you can find God and be at peace with him. But he didn't say that here, did he? He didn't. And then there are other people who would want to say, well, you know, if I'm a good person, if I'm just a good person, it goes back to this idea of works. If I'm just a good person, then I can find my way to God and be at peace with God. Well, if you've been here the last few weeks, you know that's contrary to what we're actually really saying here. Not what Hawthorne says. Again, listen to me. Not what the pastor down at Brent Alliance Chapel says. Not what even Hawthorne says. And even if you want to be nice to me and say, not even what Jeff says. Jeff is just the mouthpiece. Jeff is just the messenger. And that's what we have to get through to people, that you and I are the messenger for this idea of sin through Adam, redemption through Christ. It's not my idea. That's the last thing. Please, don't think that that's my idea. So that's what we have to think about as we go through this passage today. Sin through one man, redemption through another man. In some ways very similar, because they're men. In some ways very similar because it was one act. The act of a sin, the act of the cross. But some ways very dissimilar in the sense that it turns us away from God, it brings us to God. So you have to think of it like that. You have to see what Paul, I mean, it actually is very, very brilliant when you really sit down to really think about what he's really saying. You know, 2,000 years ago, this guy would write this stuff and make us wonder and make us think and make us try to plow through it and see what it's all about. So that's the idea. So here we go, chapter 5, verse 12. We're going to take it right through the end. Therefore, verse 12, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men, because all sinned. For before the law was given, sin was in the world. But sin is not taken into account when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who was a pattern of the one to come. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflowed to the many. Again, the gift of God is not like the result of a one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in the life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as the result of the one trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of the one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. The law was added so that the trespass might increase, but where sin increased, grace increased all the more, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace must reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, in sin, we have death. Death. So I ask myself, what do you mean, what kind of death? What kind of death do we have here, preacher? What do you mean death? Well, obviously there's the death of when you and I pass on. And you and I, as I like to say, push daisies from 6 feet under. So the question is, what happens after that death? Is life a continuum? That begs the question. Are we just some carbon-based life form, as I read a couple of weeks ago, where we were in this soup and lightning struck, the electricity hit, and boom, life happened. DNA happened. Did that actually happen? A lot of faith to... That would take a lot of faith, in my opinion, to actually happen. But as you and I die, is there really something more that carries on? Does life continue on? Does life continue to move? And I say yes. I say yes, not because of what I think or what I believe, but because of what this book says and what the book states and how it states itself consistently throughout the book. That we all die, but we're all dead to sin. And there's a wage for that sin, right? The wages of sin is death, Romans 3:23. That's very easy to say, that there's just death in life. I get that. There's death. But at the same time, I want you to remember this, and I know you've heard me say this many times again, and I feel like I repeat myself, but it also brings death in this life. Well, what do you mean by death in this life, Hawthorne? What do you mean? Well, it's always something I wrestle with, this idea of abundant life. You might ask the question then, okay, what is abundant life? What is death in this life, and then what becomes abundant life? So let me try to explain it this way. The death in this life is just thinking about what I can do and what I can get and what I can measure. That is death. It just becomes a single purpose of me working out and trying to figure out what it means for me. Nothing more and nothing less. It's all about me. It's all about Mr. Hawthorne here, Jeff Hawthorne, being Mr. Happy, Mr. Go Lucky. And where do I find happiness? Where do I find my luckiness? How do I feel good about what I do? And I might find my pleasure in getting over on people and getting as much money as I can and dealing with that. That might bring pleasure to me, so that brings me happiness, and that's what I do. I've tried it. It doesn't make me feel any better. I've tried it. So that is the idea of death, you know. Death in this life, and it's not abundant life, but it's all about life about me. And it becomes this very self-centered, very kind of way of living. Now, what is this idea of abundant life? Because we find out death through Adam, okay? There's also the death of this life. So if I die to myself over there, and I come over here to life, to abundant life, then I find life in Christ. So that my singular purpose in this life is to live for Christ, to die for me, and to live for Christ. So I'm suggesting this morning there are two deaths. There's the death that we all face, the death that we will all someday push daisies, and we'll all kind of go through there. But I'm also suggesting in this life that there's a second death. A second death that says, okay, I surrender all. A second death that says, you know what, I'm not that important. The second death that says, you know, it's not always about me. I get it. I finally get it. And you know what? It's still taken me 57 years to get that. But yet, you know what? I still bow the knee and I still work through those issues and I work through those problems to make Jesus number one in my life and to make him Lord of my life and nothing short and nothing less. I have to continually die to Jeff every day. Continually die every day. Because I want to make sure that I'm important. You know, I want to make sure I get mine, as they like to say in the hood. I want to make sure I get mine. So I constantly have to die to Jeff. I have to follow those two deaths. Then when I die here on this earth and I push those daisies, okay, what's the continuum of life? If there's a continuum of life. If there isn't a continuum of life, go eat, drink, and be merry. But I believe there's a continuum of life. And then the second death in this death of life is that we have to die to self. We have to die to self. Now, that's the death of Adam. That's the death of Adam. That's what brings us to this point, is where do we find our righteousness from? How do we get accepted to God? And we've talked about this a lot because that's what Paul talks about in here. He talks about how do we get close to God? First, he asked us that question to the Jews, and he said, does your circumcision or your uncircumcision, does that make you close to God? Does that make you get more acceptance or less acceptance? You know, and the Jewish people are sitting there going their pious kind of way, oh, yeah, well, Paul, we think that since we're all circumcised and we followed the letter of the law according to Abraham, that we're closer to God. Paul's saying, no, you're not. He goes, it's because of this act of Jesus. Jesus came, and you have to now work through this idea of faith. Works don't get you any closer to God. Works don't happen anything. Jesus came to abolish that idea of law. Jesus came to give you redemption through faith. So you see the rub. You see the of what's going on. And so it's all by faith. And so because of one act of one man, the act of another man, it brings us this to verse 18. Consequently, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life to all man and to all men. For just as through the obedience of the one man the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man the many were made righteous. So that's what he's saying. He's saying, you know what? There's one act for each. This is contrary to what the world would want us to think, contrary to what any philosophy out there is of the world. The philosophy of the world is, oh, give me a break, this Adam guy, this doesn't mix. There are many ways of sin. There are many ways that we all fall from God. And then consequently, if there's many ways that we fall from God, there are many ways that we find God. So, if you're ever in one of those little discussions, right? You're ever in just any one of those discussions. And if you should have a Bible handy to you, just go to Romans chapter 5 and say, here it is. This is not what I think. This is what I believe. Because I believe that this book is God's word. Nothing less and nothing more. One man, sin. One man, justification. Nowhere does it say many. You know, even Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So it's that idea. It's this idea in this book. Now, next week we're going to talk about this. So everybody's going, hey, wow, that's great, Paul. If I'm full of this idea of grace and Jesus saves all my trespasses, then does that mean I can trespass as much as I want and do whatever I want to do? Because all I got to do is ring the grace bell and everything's taken care of. All I got to do is say, well, I had a bad day yesterday, a bad night. Ring the bell, everything's good. We all get wings, just like in It's a Wonderful Life, right? You ring the bell, everybody gets wings. All the angels get wings. So do we. But next week we're going to look at that. We're going to look at that a little bit differently. We're going to ask a little bit of a harder question. What does that mean? But the message today is this. And the consistency of the message of the Christian faith is this. Sin through one man. Nothing more, nothing less. One guy decided, you know what, I'm going to make this decision. That's where we fall short of the glory of God through his act. Therefore, we are all sinners. We all come under this umbrella of sin. But God saw it as to have a different way and a new way, that through one man comes redemption, One man brings about the grace that you and I are seeking for. And it doesn't come about through works. It comes about through the grace of faith. Nothing more and nothing less. So this week, as you think about this idea, as you get tickled by the ideas and the philosophies of the world, when people say, you know what, I don't believe that. I don't think that that's true. And you start asking yourself and you start scratching your head and go, huh, maybe they're right. Maybe there are other ways to God. Maybe there were other ways that this thing of sin, whatever you want to call sin, maybe there were other ways that sin came into the world. And you start wondering and you start questioning and you start going, boy, that, yeah, maybe they're right. Maybe what they're saying is, maybe that kind of makes sense. Why wouldn't there be a bunch of people that sin that cause all of us to sin? Why wouldn't there be more ways to God? They're nice people. You know, they do nice things. They follow through. Yeah, maybe there is more than one way to God. Maybe there were other acts along the way. If you believe that this is the Word of God, and this is the Bible that God gives us and the Word that God gives us, not your opinion, not my opinion, but God's voice that says, one man, sin. One man, redemption. Nothing less. It's not my opinion. It's in the Word of God. It's in the book. It's in the book right here. So, that leads me to say this, that sometimes when we're all tempted, and we're all a little weak in that belief, and we're all wondering and going, I wonder what if. You know, go to Romans chapter 5. You know, and be reminded again that it was through Adam. But not only, don't focus on Adam, but focus on the idea of Christ through his one act who brings us to redemption to God. There's no other way to God. It's just this one way. And it's free to everybody. That's the great thing. It's free to everybody. Not how tall you are. I'd lose out right there. Listen to this. Not how fat you are. I would lose out there. That's two strikes against me. You know, not how smart you are. I'm not the smartest person in the world. There's three strikes. In baseball, I'd be out, right? But he just accepts us who we are. That's all he does. He just says, here, it's all for everybody. No matter how many trespasses, no matter what goes on, Christ's life, the work of Christ covers it all. Covers it all. Not just a little bit, not just 75%, not even 99.9%, but 100%. Covers it all. Nothing less. So that should give you confidence in what you believe. That should give you confidence that, you know what, I get it. Through one man. Not just through a bunch of people. Because if it's through a bunch of people, then it's 25% here, 50% here, 20% there. But 100% through this one guy. And live the life of abundance. That's simple. Easy to say, right? But it is abundant life. It is abundant life as we come on Wednesday night and we struggle, we wrestle, and we say, you know what? This is what I think. This is what I'm struggling with. This is what I'm going through. I almost think Wednesday night is our bar night. You come, you don't get anything to drink, you get a Coke, you get a Mountain Dew, you get whatever, you get some iced tea, and we just pound out what the Word of God means to each and every one of us. That's what Wednesday night is. So I want to encourage you. You know, if you're sitting there on a Wednesday night at 6:30, and you're going to yourself, what am I going to do for the next hour? Come Wednesday night. You're going to meet some really great people. Sometimes they even kick me out and say, get out of here, go on. You know, but you're going to meet some really great people with some really great attitude, really open minds. It's just a really, sometimes, you know, we're here until, I don't know, we're only here until about 7:30. But and actually, you can leave anytime you want. But listen, be confident. Be confident because this is what the book says. It's never, ever what Hawthorne says. The book says, one man sin, the book says one man redemption through Christ. That settles it. We believe it. It's just what I find true in my life. And I don't find any inconsistencies in that. If I did, then I'd tell you, hey, you know what? That story, you know, inconsistent. So think on those things. Seek the abundant life as you let go of you. Seek the abundant life as I let go of me. It's not always about me. I want it to be, but it's more about Christ. So we have to make Christ number one and center of all that we have to do. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Sometimes your word is, it's always true. What I was trying to say is sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it's hard to understand. Sometimes it's hard to let go of me. Hard to let go of what I want to do and find your lordship, find your comfort. So Lord, help me through this week to be less of Jeff and more of you. Help me to walk that line of faith. Help me to draw a line in the sand that says I will not go any further, but it's about Christ. Help me just serve you better. And all I say and do, in your name I pray. Amen.